Welcome to Crime in Plastic, a gripping podcast where I, Dr. Miami, one of the world's top plastic surgeons, and my co-hosts, Santina and Rosie, delve into the often unseen world where true crime and plastic surgery intersect.
Each week, Dr. Miami will share his expertise and insights into the complex world of cosmetic procedures, while Santina and I give you the shocking details of criminal investigations.
From notorious criminals undergoing drastic transformations to evade the law, to even our own personal encounters with true crime and plastic surgery, all will be uncovered.
So sit back, relax,
or don't,
because this is Crime and Plastic.
Welcome back, everybody, to Crime and Plastic. How have you guys been?
I've been great. How about you, Rosie?
I've been good. Our guest host, who is supposed to be my researcher and your son, ditched us today.
He's still my son, though. He's just not your researcher.
Yeah. He apparently did research for the episode, but he couldn't stay to do the episode. So I had to quickly research a different episode.
He had to dip, you're saying?
He had to dip.
Yeah.
His
girlfriend's in town or something.
Yes. Yeah, so my new co-host that I bought a new microphone for, a new setup, ditched.
Well, Gen Z, what are you going to do? They're 19.
I feel him, though.
Two things.
Sometimes you got to dip. It's really not your fault.
Does Santina want to talk about her face blowing up?
My face blowing up?
Well, you know.
Oh, my skin problems? Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Tell us, San Rizzo, what happened?
Well, you asked how she was doing. I just remembered that since the last episode. She had
well, so instead of
thing.
Waiting for me to say how I'm doing, you're like, that bitch is doing bad.
I'm dying. You know, Every day she comes in with a new diagnosis. Today it was lupus.
Yeah, it's true.
From Google.
Why do you tell us?
Because her left arm hurt her for a second last night.
It wasn't
she
a
comes
second.
To lupus.
Okay, so let me explain.
Listen.
So one day I'm at work and my face, I take a call. I come out of this room. I was in this room. I take a call for an hour. I come out of the call.
She's a very hard worker taking a call for another person at work. For an hour, yes.
Well, to David's point, we spent a lot of time waiting.
It was work-related, just not for this job.
Exactly.
So technically, she was working.
Yes, this is Santina's office, actually.
I have to maximize my time. I have to make my time efficient. Anyway,
hustle.
I had already done the market research that I needed to do for this joint. And so I was taking a call in this room for an hour. I leave, and my face was like all red, flared up, like a bunch of bumps like on my cheeks and a little bit on my forehead. And I'm like, bro, what the fuck is going on? And so I started hypothesizing that I have an allergic reaction to my cat because recently
Stevie Nicks.
Yes. She started shedding because she's like in her teenage years now. So I'm like, oh my God, her hair is catching up to me. I'm having an allergic reaction. So and then the doctor's like, no, you're just dying. I don't know.
No, yeah. I said it can't be that because it's not on the rest of your body. It's only on your face unless you just rub your cat's face against
your
cat's fur against her face and no other part of your body touches her, then maybe. Well, but it didn't sound right.
What I had said to him too was like, well, the skin on your face is more sensitive, A, and B, I am typically wearing clothes in my house, so that's like a layer that my skin is protected from the cat. So I'm still thinking it's my cat.
Also, because you had left to Costa Rica for a week and you said that your skin got better when you were separated from your cat.
Yes, it did. So whatever.
It could have been the increased sun exposure, like the UV rays and stuff.
That it made my skin better?
Yeah, well, you're outdoors a lot.
That's what my... So we'll get to that part. So then they go to a dermatologist that they both recommend, Dr. Shagalov.
She's great, by the way. She's in Biscayne and what street?
Like 28th or something.
28th in Biscayne.
So I go to see her and she tells me the same thing as what he says. She says, I'm not convinced it's your cat because it's not on your face.
No, it is
it's
on
only
your face.
On your face.
Sorry, it's not on your body. It's just on your face. And then she says, she's like, I believe it to be one of two things. Number one, Demodex folliculitis, which is an overgrowth of these face mites that everybody has, but like the overgrowth of it can cause like rosacea.
I don't have any, got zero mites. No.
You have a million mites.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm the one guy.
And these mites are just like little tiny microscopic creatures that feed on the hair follicle. Mm-hmm. On your face. Mm-hmm. She said it's either that or it's a different folliculitis, which is more like of a fungal, like acne or whatever.
Yep.
So then she goes, she's asking me, well, how's your health otherwise? I say, my health is good. I don't know. Like, I just had my blood drawn. It was fine. Long story short. So she concludes that I have fine health. So she says, okay, I'm going to just treat you for both in case.
Right.
And so she gives me ivermectin, which is for the first thing, for the mites. And I take it, like, two doses. And I think my skin has gotten better, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It has.
So it has gotten better, for sure.
So my skin has gotten better. So I'm like, okay, well, the ivermectin worked. Then maybe that was the correct diagnosis. So I started looking into Demodex folliculitis. And what it says online is that the overgrowth of these mites is a result of a weakened immune system, usually because you have an autoimmune disorder, like HIV, AIDS, cancer, Crohn's disease, all these things.
Lupus. And there's like a thousand autoimmune disorders.
So then I'm like, oh my God, I have HIV, because it can be Crohn's. I don't know. To me, I'm like, it can't be Crohn's. It can't be cancer.
Now, bear in mind, last month she thought she had a brain tumor. So every month she has a new self-diagnosis based on like some fleeting symptom that's only like remotely related to the terrible thing she thinks she has.
Yeah, that's true.
Every month.
So I go to these people, well, you two, Rosie and the doctor, and they're like, no, it's fine. It happens to a lot of people. And they're saying, it's common. Your face is just, you've washed it too much. So now it's like an overgrowth is happening.
Possible.
And I'm like, no, it's not true. Because online it's saying it's like relatively rare. And he's like, relatively, what does that mean? Whatever. So then I call the office of my dermatologist and I'm like, hey, if you think that I have something that's caused by a weakened immune system, why didn't you tell me to go to my PCP and check out what the fuck is probably happening with me? And they're like, well, the official diagnosis that she gave you is the second folliculitis.
Right. The fungal one.
She just gave you the ivermectin in case.
Okay. So take the fungal one.
So, well, now I just started the treatment for the fungal one.
Good. Maybe that's why it's getting better. When did you start the fungal one?
I started the topical cream like 3 days ago, but I'm supposed to take some like oral pill as well, which I've only taken yesterday and I forgot to take it today.
Because you know, when you're dying, it's really important that you forget your medications.
Well, those things are not going to help me not die. They're just going to help my skin look good while I'm dying.
I think.
So wait, and then
I think you've already convinced yourself you're dying, so why bother?
So last night, I'm like laying down and I feel like this weird like burning sensation in my arm, like just like in certain spots. And when I touch my arm, it's warm to the touch.
Right.
And the other one's not.
Right.
And Armani is there. So I like literally go to her without saying anything else. And I say, touch my right arm. She touches it. I say, touch my left arm. She touches it. And she's like, whoa, your left arm's kind of hot.
Were you laying on your left arm?
No. So then I'm like,
were you sitting under a heat lamp, but like off-centered?
No. So I'm like, why do I have this burning sensation plus my, whatever.
Are you like a yogi that can like raise their body temperature?
No, this is serious.
Or something?
So then I started looking up like, why is my arm, like, why do I have a burning sensation and it's warm to the touch? And then it's like, oh, your skin could be irritated, da da da. And then it was like lupus. And then I was like, it said something lupus. And I was like, wait, that makes the most sense.
It's all connecting now.
Makes the most sense.
Because lupus, she has an autoimmune disorder. And the arm thing.
The arm thing. And plus, people with lupus get this thing called a butterfly rash.
Yes, which you did not have.
Which was like an outbreak like on your nose and cheeks.
But you didn't. That you had the biggest butterfly ever then, because it was your whole face.
It wasn't just my whole face.
It was
though.
Like eight butterflies. A butterfly rash looks like a butterfly. Like it like here. Literally looks, it comes over here. Here and then stops here and stops here.
But it was mostly there.
Okay, but mostly is not the malar rash. It's like a specific, very...
Just draw her blood now and check her.
Pathognomonic. Okay, I will.
So
and
then
blood.
Today I started explaining it to the doctor because I can't just die in peace. Like I have to get...
Take us all down
she
with
needs
you.
Reassurance I that she's dying.
I need reassurance that I'm dying. So I'm like, also, isn't lupus... Like, don't people think that lupus is caused by like a tick?
No.
Or is that something
that's
else?
Lyme disease.
Lyme disease.
But I have a feeling you were bit by a tick at some point.
Look.
Yeah, it does not look like a malar rash. No. Not even close. No. Let me put it this way. A malar rash, when you walk in the dermatologist's office, they go, that's a malar rash.
So look up a malar rash so you can see the difference.
I looked it
she
up.
She did. It looks completely different.
Look. Because my skin was like, that's not a malar rash.
You have a malar rash plus a forehead rash plus a chin rash plus a cheek rash. Plus an ear rash. Yeah, that is not a malar rash.
Okay, fine. He says it's not. So then I was like, oh, makes sense. Lupus. I was like, autoimmune disease, check. Rash on my face, check. burning sensation on my arm, check. And then I
you
look
know,
at
you did have liposuction on your arms a few months ago, right?
Yes, yeah, so it does take, it even does take months, 6 months. Even months later, you could get that electricity feeling.
That tingly
feeling.
But
I never had that feeling before. And then, last
she
thing.
She just caught the lupus last week, okay?
Last thing, and I look up lupus, and it's like not common, but most likely to happen in women between the ages of 20 and 50.
And that's a pretty
fuck. I'm a woman who's between 20.
That's
and 50.
A very big range.
It's most likely to happen in humans between the age of 1 and 100.
No, it's like
oh my god, that's me.
But it's almost like exclusively in women.
It is. It's far more common in women than men. That's true.
So then I was like,
so
oh,
you are a woman. Lupus. Check. Check. You are between the ages of 20 and 50. Check. Check.
Burning sensation.
You don't have a malar rash, so that's not a check.
That's your opinion.
Your arm tingling is kind of a. Maybe.
And then,
it's a maybe. It's
oh
the
my
best.
God. And okay, what sent me on this whole spiral was I'm like, oh, I'm going to be, you know what? I'm going to be genuine. I'm going to make authentic content. I'm going to share with my followers my skin journey because this has like been really frustrating me for a while. So I make a video and I tell them like, oh, my dermatologist hypothesized that it could be like the overgrowth of Demodex mites. And all the comments are like, the overgrowth of Demodex mites is usually caused by a really serious underlying condition. You need to get that checked out immediately. So I'm like, that's what sent me in a spiral. Everyone's like, you're dying of some...
The TikTok doctors told her she was dying. And
I believe them.
But she doesn't believe you.
They've never been wrong.
Well, he's a TikTok doctor.
With a license.
I don't comment, though. I'm not going to give diagnosis on TikTok, like, in the comments.
They were like... You need to see a PCP, get your blood drawn right yes. now.
So she thought she was silently dying of HIV or cancer.
But now and lupus.
Now it's lupus.
But now it's lupus.
Lupus, you know, it's serious. I would get that checked
They
out.
Say that people with lupus, like 80 to 90% of them live a normal life expectancy.
That's right.
Just probably a little more painful.
Yeah, 80%. That means
whatever. I'm not
one in five.
Most likely not in the smaller percentage. Just statistically speaking, probably in the bigger percentage.
Yes.
Oh, that.
She let her okay, have. She's being positive.
I love that. Yes. That part. She's lucky. I'm always lucky. I'm always in the 80% of the not dying in the seriously dying illness, but not lucky in the like 1% that get that serious illness. That's how you work your statistics.
Listen, I'm pessimistic, but I'm not crazy.
Touche.
I'm glad you clarified.
Okay, I have a little bit of news from the plastic surgery world. There's a case that's been in the news here in Miami. A plastic surgeon apparently made a mistake during surgery, perforated some organs. Patient died, 33 years old. Big case here. It was in the Herald, they're talking about the fact that he didn't have a proper license or something.
Mm-hmm.
And further details are that he put a drain into the patient's abdominal cavity, like not under the skin, but into the actual real messy mm-hmm. case. And so he's in a lot of trouble.
Oy.
So that is the news. It's an old case. It's from a few years back, but now they're like talking
they're
about
talking
it in
about
the news. I guess you have to be careful.
Yes.
As a patient and as a surgeon, BBL, make sure it's done safely and by someone's experience and license, et cetera, et cetera. Okay.
Okay.
That is the news.
Okay, so my story that I had to research very quickly. Thank you, David. So Dr. Ehab Ali Mohammed, he went to medical school in Egypt and he practiced in California. He was a gynecologist and he practiced cosmetic surgery out of his Encino office. And he used vaser liposuction. He used the vaser machine a lot.
Okay.
You want to explain what the vaser machine is?
Sure, absolutely. It uses ultrasonic energy to basically burn fat. And it's helpful for going through like scar tissue and tightening the skin. It does have an increased risk for burning the skin and causing seromas and nerve damage, though. So that's pluses and minuses.
So he said the way he performed the liposuction was a three-step process. First, the solution of saline with epinephrine, lidocaine, is injected under the skin.
Yes.
Then a titanium probe is inserted under the skin to deliver ultrasound energy through the vaser amplifier to loosen fat cells.
What did I just say?
And finally, the injected solution with the loosened fat cells are sucked out or aspirated.
Correct.
So Dr. Mohammed, he performed the liposuction in his medical office.
Is it in Egypt?
No, no, it's in California.
California, okay.
He went to medical school in Egypt, moved to California. He practiced in California. Licensed in California.
Got it.
So he did this in a, like, he did the vaser liposuction in basically like a room in his medical office. It didn't have an EKG, no pulse ox, no backup oxygen, no backup power supply, no crash cart. He only had a limited supply of drugs to reverse the narcotics.
Like Santina's office, basically.
Yeah. And then he didn't employ anybody who was ACLS certified,
ooh,
which is advanced cardiac life support. So
that's mandatory here.
I think it's mandatory there too.
Okay.
He didn't have an anesthesiologist or a nurse anesthetist to handle sedation. On occasion, his office assistant, Judy Evans, assisted him with procedures.
What?
She was just basically like me. Like, she was the practice manager. She had no like actual formal. She went to nursing school for 1 year, but 40 years earlier, she had like no medical license. No.
Where do I put the leeches?
I was going to say nursing school 40 years ago was like insane.
Yeah. So as of 2011,
they had like those metal and glass. Yeah.
She had
needles.
She had no BLS or ACLS training. She hadn't taken a CPR class in like 8 years.
Oh. It's okay. CPR doesn't change much, though.
I think it's the forgetting how to do CPR, not that the CPR methods are changing.
So then,
it's that her brain. No,
the ACLS does change. They like every 2 years or something, they come up with some new
algorithm,
some recommendations, switch this for that or whatever.
Okay. So first patient that we're going to talk about is Zaki Handy. Female, 77 years old, and she went to his office in May 2010 to treat the wrinkles on her face.
Okay.
Dr. Mohammed convinced her to undergo liposuction from her abdomen, back, arms, legs, and he claimed to her that it was tax deductible, would reduce the risk of heart attack and Alzheimer's, and would lower her cholesterol by a lot and add 20 years to her life.
77 is crazy.
How does that... I beg your pardon.
That's like a big promise to make somebody.
It is a big promise.
A huge promise.
That is.
You can make that promise to someone who's like 40, but you can't make that promise to someone 70 because it's like really bad odds.
Wait, though. How would that help her wrinkles? She came for facial wrinkles.
He did. I think he was going to treat that too, but he upsold her to do the liposuction
I get it. But she's 77.
She's 77. And then he assured her she would have no downtime.
By the way, wait. There's a tiny bit of truth in what he said as far as decreasing cholesterol.
Because you're taking the fat out?
Yeah, there's studies that show that it does decrease your,
What about Alzheimer's?
No, I never heard that. No. That's a new one.
And then, what the fuck? That was crazy.
And then he also told Handy that she would be part of a Harvard study and would receive a substantial discount.
Oh, period.
So she...
This guy's a good salesman.
Agreed to the liposuction procedure, and she paid him $55,000 with the discount. And then she also gave him two more post-dated checks, totaling $45,000.
So whoa, $95,000.
My math is $100,000. 55 plus 45. Am I right?
You're right.
And then when she arrived for her procedure, she told Nurse Judy, that was the office manager who had experience.
This is like elder abuse, no?
Yes, it is. So she told her she took a baby aspirin that day. And then Judy said that's fine. I gave her 4 Vicodins and 1.5 milligrams of Xanax to take orally.
And a 77-year-old lady?
Mm-hmm. Because he wasn't using anesthesia, general anesthesia. He was using oral sedation. And then she fell asleep during the procedure. And she woke up to find her face blotchy and lumpy from fillers that he injected to her lip, chin, eyelids, and eyebrows. He told her that he had to stop the liposuction because of excessive bleeding due to the aspirin, so he worked on her face instead.
Okay.
Wait.
Doesn't sound too bad.
It's not over.
No, but he was smart enough to stop.
Yeah. Then she was unhappy about the fillers. She returned to him 2 days later for her liposuction. This time she was given 7 Vicodins and some more Xanax. I don't know how many, a milligram of Xanax. She fell asleep. And then according to the record, he removed 7,600 cc's of aspirate from Handy.
Ooh, that's a lot.
So during a follow-up appointment.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
In a little old lady?
During a follow-up, she complained about appearance and pain from her face. He gave her free Botox that she did not want. And then as a result of the injection, she could not close one eye and continued to experience pain and headaches from the filler. So she canceled further appointments and she stopped payment on the two post-dated checks that she had, the $45,000, and reported them to the California Medical Board.
Don't ever take post-dated checks.
No. I mean,
I would never do that.
He got plenty of money for the procedure.
That's a crazy amount.
$55,000 for us, just to give you guys a comparison, for liposuction.
Like normal prices.
For liposuction of, she basically got lipo 360.
Yeah.
And her legs.
And some fillers.
Yeah, it would be about $20,000 max here. Yeah. All right.
No tummy tuck, no breast augmentation, no facelift, nothing.
Next patient that we're going to talk is Sharon Carpenter. So on August 17, 2010, Sharon Carpenter.
But wait a minute. That case, there was no like malpractice per se in that case. Other than the ridiculous claims
of preventing.
It's definitely taking advantage of an old person, but yeah. It's not. He didn't kill her, God forbid.
Well, we're getting to that.
Oh, no.
Sharon Carpenter. August 17, 2010, Sharon Carpenter consulted with him for whole body liposuction. She was 61 years old. He told her that he performed a unique form of liposuction and she'd also get a discount for being part of the Harvard study.
It's great.
So guess how much her procedure was with the discount.
What did she get?
Full body liposuction.
$50,000.
Yeah, I think that's probably like his go-to number.
$100,000.
Wow. What part of LA
Yesterday's prices are not today's prices.
Encino, is that a rich area?
I don't know.
Encino man?
I don't know.
Yesterday's prices are not today's prices. Yesterday's prices are not today's prices.
That's true.
Rosie, we're raising our prices immediately. You know, for the record, like I don't do liposuction on people over 50.
Yeah.
Like,
so
any of this kind of big surgery.
So she comes back a few days later. She paid the $100,000. She comes back a few days later to do the liposuction. She comes at 9 and they give her, Nurse Judy gives her a fentanyl patch, put it on her neck, and then some Vicodin and Xanax.
She buy that off the street?
I don't know. Then they started her liposuction at 1:10 p.m. At 2:30, they infiltrated 5,000 cc's of saline with lidocaine and epinephrine.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got another milligram of Xanax at 2:30. And he started doing vaser liposuction at 3:35.
This guy's a real plastic surgeon, right? He trained in Egypt as a plastic surgeon?
No, he's a gynecologist. He was doing cosmetic surgery.
Okay.
At least he's a doctor.
Yeah.
And then...
the bar's in hell.
He gave her oral doses of Percocet at 4:45 and again at 7 o'clock. She got an injection of Zofran at 2:45 p.m. after she vomited about 9 hours into the procedure.
9 hours?
The fentanyl patch was removed at 10 p.m. In lieu of electronic monitoring, he monitored her vital signs manually throughout the 11-hour procedure.
Manually?
The doctor...
like taking her pulse?
Yeah, the doctor or Nurse Judy took her pulse by hand, both watched her for breathing for any changes, and monitored her oxygenation and consciousness by maintaining conversation with her throughout the procedure. She did not receive any IV fluids, but drank water and other liquids during the surgery.
What?
He estimated she drank about 3.5 liters. During the procedure, she urinated in a bedpan and Nurse Judy eyeballed the volume of urine. At 11:30 p.m.
This is very low budget high budget price.
Yeah, I know. It's like, let's charge 5 times the normal rate and give you like 1/5 of the actual stuff you need.
And then at around 11:30 p.m., the patient refused to take any more fluids and appeared dehydrated.
You think?
And then he called Encino Hospital across the street, urgently asking to borrow IV tubing, normal saline bags, and an 18-gauge cannula, but the hospital refused to give it to him.
Yeah, I wonder why.
After he called the hospital, he resumed liposuction.
What?
She became sleepy, and he told her it would only be 15 more minutes. But he continued the liposuction for 30 to 40 minutes, reaching a total of 5,000 cc's of aspirate. At 12:17 a.m., 11 hours into the procedure, the doctor noticed that her breathing was shallow and she was unresponsive.
But why is it so long? 11 hours is crazy.
Well, he...
Well, for $100,000, it's like every single cell is personally treated.
No, yeah.
Every single cell is personally extracted with a gold extractor.
No,
he noticed that her lips were blue.
Oh,
and he began rescue efforts. He called 911.
Oh, no.
And he lost her pulse at 12:25, and he moved her to the floor to perform CPR.
Oh, no.
Not the floor.
The pair...
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. It has to be a solid...
So then...
If the stretcher
the paramedics arrived at 12:22, but the door was locked, delaying their entry. When they reached the medical office on the seventh floor, they found the doctor performing CPR and blood was everywhere.
Oh my God.
The patient had low pulse, was not breathing. The paramedics took over CPR, started epinephrine, gave her atropine to no effect.
Shocked her. 20 minutes later,
Carpenter was pronounced dead.
Oh no.
Shocked her? What would make you think that they had that equipment when he was taking her pulse manually?
Well, paramedics have it.
They should have something.
So the LA County coroner investigator arrived at the office at 2:40. She interviewed the doctor after he finished writing his notes. She said the only medical equipment she saw in the room was a stethoscope. She observed no monitoring devices, no EKG, no pulse ox, no oxygen tanks, no crash cart. She saw 6 1,000cc canisters containing aspirin in the room. 4 were overturned on the floor, and 1 was still hooked up to the liposuction machine. So the senior medical examiner for LA County coroner did an autopsy on Sharon Carpenter, the patient, and concluded that her death was opioid toxicity from the lidocaine, fentanyl, and oxycodone she had received. Yeah. And he said that the combination of these drugs could have caused the death in several ways. Depressing breathing, causing abnormal heart rhythm.
Yep.
Depressing or overactivating brain function, causing seizure.
Yep.
Also said that she had undiagnosed atherosclerosis,
mm-hmm.
and it made her particularly vulnerable to drug overdose and was a contributing factor to Carpenter's death.
And that's why I don't do liposuction on people over 50, because they can have undiagnosed atherosclerosis, heart disease. Now, that's also the reason why I only do liposuction with general anesthesia, because when you start to do it with oral sedation and lidocaine and all those other things, it's easy to tip over the edge and go into toxic levels. So,
you think this guy was even... Like, was his diagnosis even true?
He's
obviously not a very trustworthy person.
You're saying it wasn't going to cure her Alzheimer's, you're saying?
No, I'm saying she probably didn't have that undiagnosed arthroblah.
No. The coroner said it.
The
coroner literally took out her heart into his hands and sliced it open.
I thought the doctor said it.
No. The doctor, he's toast. I mean, the doctor, there's no coming back from that. That's just, on every single level, hit like every branch of the malpractice tree on the way down.
And then other experts who reviewed the case said that his liposuction constituted extreme negligence, a terrible departure from standard of care, violated a lot of codes in California by subjecting her to 12 hours of surgery without cardiac monitoring, without IV fluid administration, without having an accredited facility, failing to properly monitor and replace the volume of fluid removed from her body.
Nurse Judy.
Attempting to monitor Carpenter's vitals while simultaneously performing surgery. So it is a law in California that you need to have a separate person who is ACLS certified monitoring the vitals.
Of course. Which sounds
pretty basic. His testimony, the doctor, Muhammad, said he does not perform traditional liposuction. His methods are a step above most advanced techniques employed by other doctors. His techniques produce better outcomes, but take much longer than traditional liposuction, which is why he charges much more than other doctors. And then, even though he doesn't have the patent on Vaser, he planned to patent his unique method of performing Vaser liposuction.
It's an interesting, he's basically doubling down.
Yes.
On his, like, he's like, no, I'm not wrong, you're all wrong.
No, even more. He said he defends his use of the drugs administered to Carpenter, to Anjali, these both patients, saying that he keeps his patients alert during liposuction because he believes monitoring their condition through conversation is the fastest and most effective way to detect a problem. He said, if you wait for hypoxia, which is when you don't have oxygen.
So what went wrong, doctor?
To be detected by pulse ox, you're an idiot. Because then it will be very late. And he testified that he personally monitored Carpenter's pulse and oxygenation and recorded her vitals throughout the procedure. And while acknowledging that Carpenter was sedated during a procedure, he believed that monitoring and emergency equipment were required only when a patient was given intravenous sedation, not when oral sedatives were used.
That's his opinion.
Yes.
Which obviously is wrong.
Well, he didn't. He admitted he was not aware of California regulations that applied to the procedures he was performing. And he also was of the opinion that Carpenter died due to undiagnosed and asymptomatic coronary disease. And he maintained that the doses of the various drugs he gave her were correct and safe.
I would beg to differ. And then not to throw him under the bus, but I mean he's basically under the bus.
Yes. So he was convicted of involuntary manslaughter and elder abuse, and he was found guilty by a jury, and he was sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Makes sense.
How old was the lady who Carpenter?
Carpenter was 61. 60. It was elder abuse for Zachy.
Oh, I was going to say, elder abuse for someone who's 61 is kind of, that's kind of
No, Zachy Handy was 77.
That's Barry.
That's shady.
And then the whole thing, and then after this, he surrendered his license to...
Oh, he didn't get that patent for his vaser technique?
He didn't get that patent, and his whole Harvard study was a lie, too.
Of course it was.
There's no story, there's no whatever. He was just, and then he surrendered his license to the California board, so...
Well, what did he have to say for the Harvard thing?
He just lied. I don't know. I think he made up a study, but it had no like IRB controls.
He was going to submit it to Harvard when he visited them.
Exactly, because he had no association with Harvard whatsoever.
Right.
It's not even the Ivy League that's close to him.
Yeah, he just made it all up. And with a discount that was triple the price, he took advantage of poor 77-year-old Zachy. And then he was completely negligent with Carpenter.
What year was this?
This happened in 2010.
So this is like in the age of the internet.
Yeah.
Not really.
I mean, the beginning.
Hello? 2010 is not the beginning of the internet.
I mean, it's...
There was like Facebook and Google.
Yeah.
Someone could have looked it up and been like, but what does liposuction cost in California?
Yeah, but
do you understand how, like, okay, you can look it up, but what would come up wasn't a lot. Like, there was no Reddit.
She was 77.
Okay, forget the 77. The 61 should, when you walk into a room and you see Nurse Judy and no cardiac monitoring and no
oxygen. Yeah, but what the fuck do you expect?
I mean, for 50 grand, I would expect to be like.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
Like a dozen people, each one holding my arms and like floating me onto the table.
It's probably the opposite. It's like. Because she's paying 50 grand, she just assumes everything is fine.
Yeah. And she paid 100 grand.
You know, like...
Correct my math again. Yes. Why don't you?
Most people think that, like, oh, if I'm paying more, everything is going to be better.
So is he still in prison or he's out already?
He should be out already. He was... He filed an appeal, but it was in 2016, but it was denied.
Oh, so wait, what was it? How long was he sentenced?
5 years.
5 years.
That's so crazy.
You'd think he should be more, right?
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Because, like...
It's one thing when you kill somebody. It's another thing when you overcharge somebody to kill them.
Yeah. Well, that's like... Yeah,
it's like insult to injury.
Exactly. And on top of that, there's something that's so just fucked up about, like, paying to look more attractive and either you get, like... You come out looking less attractive because you're, like, botched or you die.
Yeah. Paying quadruple.
And also...
Like, even for California, this is in 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot in 2010.
It's a lot even now. It's a lot now.
It's a lot now, but it's not like...
Yeah, but in 2010, that's like exorbitant.
Yeah, it is, because that's like, we weren't even out of the recession yet.
That was
like still recession-y.
But that was like, that's like normal California prices now, or like New York plastic
surgery. No, nobody pays $100,000 for liposuction.
Like for a facelift, they will. Like things that are more technical.
There's like two guys that can charge $100,000 for it. Anyway, so... that's our episode for Crime and Plastic today.
That's our episode today. Thank you guys for tuning in. And maybe next time my researcher will be back with us.
And maybe next time, join us next time to see what fatal illness Santina will be convinced she has.
Yes, we'll find out. Thanks guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Stay beautiful.
Bye.